We can start this session with comments from Ahmed, who you just had the encounter with the walking stick with. So now he's all prepped and ready to go.
Thank you very much, Your Holiness. My name is Ahmed Haji from Uganda. And I want to share my story. It's 8 p.m. in the middle of the night. No.
8 p.m.
Yes.
Yeah, it's 8 p.m. in the middle of the night, and it's 11th July 2010. Me and my friends are coming back from a long day of community work, so we choose to go to a place as any young person to go and watch football and enjoy the rest of the day. We all started enjoying, and a few minutes, close to our enjoyment, there was a loud bang, and then it goes boom. It was silent for a minute, and all you would hear are screamings, mostly young people below the age of 20 years, and I was among them. Smoke everywhere, stain of blood. I actually lost my consciousness. For like 2 days later, when I regained my consciousness, I was told that the Muslims had done it. Look at me, I'm an innocent Muslim, young man, and very innocent lives from other traditions. We don't know anything about what's going on. Because of that, me and my colleague, we made a choice not to remain in the world of victimhood. We started a peace-building organization 6 years ago. And our goal was, what you're telling us, to mobilize faith leaders, youth, women, to delink the messages of peace, of Islam, my faith, Islam meaning peace, and importantly, to confront the language of hatred, confront the language of prejudice, the language of exclusion. I'll tell you, it's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy when you feel that your legitimacy, your credibility is questioned. That even when you wake up every single day and you're trying to portray the image of humanity, compassion, love, honor, you still feel that the misconception about the faith of peace is questioned. Even when I went through horrific situations of over 1 year, because I lost my hearing senses. I've just regained my hearing senses. Nightmares. I never slept for over 7 months, and I lost friends. Like many of my colleagues here, I would tell you, what keeps us going is the faith that we derive from those traditions that you earlier on alluded to. Because I believe that compassion sort of helps us to regain our fear. That's why we derive our spiritual sources. And I believe that sympathy and love helps us to boost our confidence and to create a world better and peaceful that my two sons will enjoy. And I think that's why I'm a peace builder. Thank you very much, Your Holiness.
Wonderful, wonderful. Through your own experience, see, you dedicate it as a doing something. It's wonderful, wonderful.
Can I invite Victoria to join?
Thank you very much. My name is Victoria and I'm from Nigeria. My journey can be drawn back from inner peace and internal conflict. I grew up in the ghetto area of Lagos in Nigeria, where it was a society that dictated to me exactly what to do and how it must be done. I had no voice of my own as an individual. I felt like I did not exist. I felt like I was in the community, but not in the community. I suffered with low self-identity. I could not face the crowd. And this also affected how I related with people. I did not have a lot of friends. I faced constant bullying. I never lived in a conflict zone, but it felt like in my heart a lot of war was going on. I'll go back home and cry. I'll go back home and feel so dejected. I had no hope about life. I didn't know what my future was going to be like. This affected me so much, and I felt like I lost a lot of my childhood. And in my community, people look at children as children. Oh, they are very young. They don't know anything at this age. Let's wait until they grow a little bit older, then they would understand so much about life. But at a tender age, I had learned so many things. I had learned so many good and bad, but the bad seemed to overcrowd the good things, because this was what I observed in my society. This was what I saw in my society. People lying, people getting angry, people fighting, people betraying one another. And this made me so confused about life. This made me lose hope in the community that I lived. But with time, I began to gain a different orientation. I began to see life differently. I began to have some certain values through prayer, because I'm a Christian, some certain values that helped me see that it is not over. I can still become somebody in life, and I can help other people discover their self-identity. Because while growing up, I had no self-identity of my own. I was not aware of who I was, and it affected so many things about my life. So I started an organization about 3 years ago called One African Child Foundation. So what we teach community children is on global citizenship education and peace building. I liked how you talked about global citizenship, because I feel like we live in a world that is constantly revolving, and our world has become so interconnected that we need one another to survive. Beyond just teaching children how to learn to read and write, we need to prepare them to be responsible citizens. We need to prepare them at an early age to start to take responsibilities, to be responsible for the world in the spirit of love and compassion. So what we do at our organization, we teach on ethical leadership. I feel like ethical leadership. I feel like in Africa, one of our major problems is with ethical leadership. We lack ethical leaders, and that is part of the problems that we are facing today. We also teach on emotional intelligence. So emotional intelligence covers areas on self-awareness, self-regulation, how do you control yourself, how do you choose your values, motivation, empathy, and also social skills. All these skills are what we are using to empower young people from my community. Another thing that we are looking forward to do is to give hope to them, not by saying that you need to love, but to show them how. So we use what we call experiential exercises to show children and young people how you can become responsible citizens. So our activities are very much experiential. So basically, this is my own little quota to seeing a world of peace and sustainability. And I also believe that peace with one person is peace with the world, and peace begins with the individual. If we want to see peaceful society, we must begin with the individual, and we must start at the grassroots. We must not only have conferences where we have old people and start to say, let us build peace. We must start very early. So my question is, I'm aware that there are other educators in this room. I would like, what message would you give to we as educators, we as peace builders, on how we can continue to advance for peace in our religion, in our regions? And also, I would like to hear from you holistic approaches. You mentioned a lot about education and holistic learning. What are some of those holistic approaches that we can introduce in our teachings? Thank you.
Holistic
learning.
Holistic, when I use that word, it means the well-being of our physical and well-being of our emotion, or our mind. So the society also, you see, the whole humanity, it is not sufficient just to take care about their physical well-being. But the real troublemaker is here, emotion. So we, and also I think the individual sort of happy, joyful life, very much related with inner value, as I already mentioned. So the existing education not sort of include, not sufficient. So that's, I mean, holistic. Then also maybe, I think, the ethics,
no.
Ethical leadership. No.
Ethics,
I think there are, I think we should consider two levels. One level, that's the fundamental level, is simply, you see, what's the secular ethics, respect others' right, sense of concern of others' well-being. Not talking about heaven or hell or next life. So that's one level. That's fundamental. So people among the people, some, you see, may not have serious sort of concern about religious faith. So that's fundamental level, ethical, kasoda, ethics, right? Kasoda, Europe, chosan.
Ethics.
Then second level, they further develop that. Then faith, not only well-being of this life, but also after death. Then you see concept of heaven or hell or other tradition, simply next sort of good life, like that. Then you see include faith towards God, and accordingly, you see there are, you see what's the kasa, the cardinal sin, cardinal sin. You see these things, you see you should remain honest, truthful, should not harm other, should not kill. So these, not only reason, well-being of this life, but after life. So then I think secondary level, because of ethical way. So that's I feel. I usually
make the distinction.
Because of telling people, firstly, irrespective of the believer or non-believer, as a human being, that kind of moral ethics. Then secondary level, as a matter of fact, all major religious tradition based on that basic human values. Then the religion further develop and use different sort of reasons, different, here, now faith. Concept of God, creator, or concept of karma, then these things have come. So in any way, wonderful. After listening to this, yeah, say the presentation, that really gives me hope.
Yes.
Many parts of the world, you see people, particularly from younger generation, really, now, I may say, eventually, now, Kasoda, wake up.
Let me give you more hope.
Oh, yes, that's right. So you see, not take for granted the present existence is best or Kasoda, sufficient. No. There's something lacking. We have to think new way of thinking. We have to make effort. So wonderful. The next.
And let me boost that hope with you. Dida, sorry, would you?
Thank you. Your Honor, my name is Didas Mzirai. and I'm coming from Kenya. First of all, I want to thank you for being a champion of peace and youth development. And again, I want to thank you for opening your gates for all of us coming from across the globe. We really appreciate. Again, I want to say that your story really resonates with most of us as youth leaders. And it is the story of resilience. Most of our stories are stories of resilience, and those are the stories that have propelled us to these leadership positions and the work that we are doing from our community, within our communities. I also want to say that I like your message. I also want to say that I like your message. It is a message of love, compassion, kindness, tolerance, and forgiveness. And that is a very powerful message. Particularly, forgiveness is very powerful. And I've personally had an experience of the power of forgiveness. And I think this is the message we need to send across the world. Growing up, I was not brought up by my parents. I was born out of wedlock, and both parents neglected me. So I was brought up by my maternal grandmother, who happened to be very poor at that particular time. So I grew up under extreme, harsh living conditions. So that made me to hate my mother, and I really hated her. So I used to hate my mother with a lot of passion. I could not accept even a gift.
You are not alone. Me also. I hate my father. Very, very short temper.
Oh.
So sometimes my father beat me. So a little bit of hate to my father. But my mother, very kind.
So I used to hate my mother very passionately. I could not even accept a gift from my father, from my mother. Because I used to really, really hate her with my whole self. Because she did not care, took care of me. So that happened, or I grew and lived like that for more than 20 years. But one day, I decided to forgive my mother. We just talked about it because it was going to extremes. And we decided to talk about it with some family members. And I decided to forgive my mother. So the day I forgave my mother, I remember vividly, I stood before her and I hugged her and I kissed her. Immediately I forgave my mother, I hugged her, I kissed her. Within 1 hour, a whole world, new world of opportunities opened up for me. I actually, within 1 hour, received 3 calls for 3 jobs that I really don't deserve. It was so miraculous. And my life has never been the same again. So that was for my own good. It was so powerful. It was so strong. My life has never been the same again. And I think this is the message that we need to send across the world. This is the message that we need to send even to Palestine and Israel. Because we cannot change what has already happened between Palestine and Israel, but we can change tomorrow. We can change the future because that is in our hands. So that message is very strong and it is very powerful. And that is what I will encourage all of us today, to send that powerful message to the whole world. Thank you very much.
Wonderful.
Thank
wonderful.
You,
wonderful.
Maybe keep. Your Holiness, I'm very privileged to be here today. I'd like to share with you my experience on how I got into the peace building work. I grew up in a community that has experienced recurrent crisis and persistent crisis, ranging from political crisis to religious crisis. I remember vividly how in one of the crises I had to run, you know, for my life. And I remember how painful it was to see someone you have lived with in your community, you know, being set on fire, you know, and killed. And for 2 years, it was very traumatizing for me because all I could hear, I wasn't sleeping well. You know, I was just hearing screams in my mind and all that. So these kinds of recurring crises had keep coming up in where I grew up. And because of that, we had segregated communities. You know, we had strictly Christian communities, strictly Muslim communities. And because of that, one of the initiatives we took was to see how we could bring together people from these two communities, you know, young girls, and we trained them. Of course, they had to go through trauma healing, and it was a painful experience. You know, a lot of them had lost the whole member of their families, properties, you know. And my question is this for you is, how have you managed, you know, even in the face of conflict and so much pain and anger, you know, how have you managed to stay focused, you know, in dealing with your target audience and not allowing your personal beliefs affect your relationship or your work with the community people you're working with? I mean, for instance, the conflict between the Muslims and the Buddhists, how were you able to stay focused and not allow your own personal, your own personal pains and, you know, your personal opinions affect your work? Because for us young peace builders, this is some of the challenges we face because we have to work at integrating these two communities, you know, and of course we want to stay focused and not allow our sentiments, you know, affect our work. So what advice do you have for us on how to stay focused on this? Thank you.
Do you have some advice, some suggestions for this question?
She wants your advice.
I think some sort of different views, disagreement, is, I think, quite natural. We human beings. Sometimes it's this brain. This brain combined, as I mentioned morning, combined with human compassion. Then this brain, very useful. But you see, this brain quite often aggressive sort of thinking. Me like that. And then narrow-minded, short-sighted. Then this brain sometimes creates a lot of trouble. So I think among human people, among humanity, human community, even if it's one family, there's some form of problems because of this complicated brain. It's always there. Even one single person mourning certain ideas. In the afternoon, you develop different sort of ideas. Sometimes the conflict, these two different idea, different time. If that go too extreme, then kaza, mental breaks away.
No, breakdown. Mental breakdown.
Mental breakdown. And suicide also, you see, sometimes take place. So you see this, I think again, in different sort of kasuta sense, holistic. Every event, actually, from a wider perspective, relative, not absolute. Something very painful sort of experience. If you look from different angle, that sort of tragic situation also may bring you new opportunity to thinking or wake up. So every sort of event, if you look from one angle, some bad sort of event, if you look from just one angle, then you may develop more frustrations. The same event, look from different angle, three dimensions or four dimensions or six dimensions, then you see, oh, there are some positive also things there. Then your frustrations, frustrations, then reduce. So looking every event more wider perspective, really helpful. So human intelligence have that ability. Animal know that ability. We have that ability. So whenever you see you face some problems, then think calmly. You should not become slave of destructive emotion. Your mind try to remain calm. Calm mind is very important for fully utilize about our common sense. Our mind disturbed, then our common sense, you see, cannot use properly. Okay, that's my view. When I, so, for example, when my, I mean, country, a lot of problems, then think whether that problem can, any possibility to solve, then no need to too much worry. If certain problem, in any case, no way to overcome, then no use too much anger.
Actually, Excellency, I'll add on to what you are saying, that if we have the proper perspective of our existence, the very existence in this world, then many problems will be not only solved, many of them will be preempted. Like 11.7 in the Holy Quran says, لِيَبْنُوَكُمْ أَحْسَنُوا عَمَلًا. God says, what is the purpose of creation of humanity? Why I have created this humanity? I have created you in order to test you as to who amongst you is more serviceable to the fellow human being. That is the purpose of creation. So once I realize that this is the purpose of my creation, so I have to have that perspective always in mind. And that another place, that was 11.7. This another place he says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَعْلُمُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنَتَ اللَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On the day of judgment, no wealth of yours will be of any use to yourself. No kindred, no relatives, no father, son, children, etc. will be of any help. But only one thing will be of help to you, and that is if you come there with a sound heart, qalbin salim. If you come there with a sound heart. So what is this sound heart? If you go deeper into the commentaries, then you find sound heart is a person can develop a sound heart only by working for others. So if we keep that in mind, many problems will be solved and many of them would be preempted.
Your Holiness, we have three youth leaders who are eager to speak, so I wonder if we could take a few comments in a row. Please go ahead.
Your Holiness, I'm from Myanmar. So I'd like to share something about my country situation and some headline Buddhist man uprising in my country. So my country is with about 125 ethnicities and it's quite diverse. So, and also, we have most of the religions, such as Buddhist, Muslim, Christian, and Hinduism. Just now you mentioned about the face of Buddhist terror, the Buddhist terrorists, the things, what's happened like, you know, many Buddhist, you know, like, I mean, like, I don't know how to say, but you know, inside the country, but there are many Buddhist monks, about 500,000 Buddhist monks. But, you know, only a handful of Buddhist monks are doing such kind of thing.
That's right.
But most of the Buddhist monks, but they keep quiet, that they don't, you know, stand up for the justice, and they don't stand up for the, you know, they don't stand up to make pressure to those, you know, hardline Buddhist men to follow the Buddha saying. But this is very difficult for us to mobilize those majority, silent majority, to stand up for justice. So this is the problem that we are facing right now. And also, like just now you have mentioned about the Rohingya issue, but this is not about the... Actually, I would say that this is not directly related to the religious issue, but this is the problem between two ethnic cities, Rohingya and Rakhine ethnic. So this is the major problem of this, and this is very much a complicated issue in our country. And I would say that there that issue is politicized by the many other factors as well. So, not only the Rohingya are suffering in my country, but we have civil war. So, up north of the country, like many thousands of Christian people are suffering from the civil war. But they have no food to eat, and like they have no shelter at all. So, like not only Muslims are, you know, oppressed by the Buddhists. I mean, like, not only the Buddhists, by the government. Actually, like, the whole system of our country is corrupted. So, and also is politicized, a lot of politicizing from the previous government, which is a military government. So, like, many cases are happening, but I will say, like, things like, are not that, you know, easy to mention that, you know, one religion, or I mean, like, that Buddhism is oppressing to the Muslims. But yeah, we have some headline Buddhist monks, but there are also many monks that are against those oppression and those extremisms. So my question to Your Holiness is, like, how can we, you know, mobilize the silent majority to stand up to fight with those headline people and Buddhist monks? And also, how can we, you know, suppress this word of Buddha to the world that, like, the Buddhism is not the religion of, you know, terrorism, but religion of, you know, like, peace and harmony. Thanks.
I think most of the problem, in the name of religion, I think real factor is political matter, power, sometimes economy. I think Bohemian's case, economy also may be some involvement. And then power. So many years ago, one occasion I was in Northern Ireland. At that time I expressed the problem, Protestant, Catholic. One factor is political matter. Mm-hmm. So the political matter, let politicians or government, let them solve. People should not mix the political matter, involve religious name, Catholicism and Protestant. So should make sort of distinction. The political matter, let government solve. And people level, as far as Catholicism and Protestant, all, you see, Christian sort of tradition, same Bible. So, you see, you should not sort of involve, because of political, some economic reasons, make sort of, what's it, kasata, genda? Ka? Antagonize, should not do that. So similarly, I think in Burma also maybe some sort of economic reasons or political reasons, then
under sort of dictatorship are difficult to express. Now, some political sort of system has changed. Aung San Suu Kyi now become most of sort of today sort of an important person. So how much she can do, I don't know. So I don't know. Now, I want to take one quotation, Buddha's own word. You are your own master. So your problem, Burmese problem, have to solve by Burmese, not other people. Yes. So, I think the essential, as I mentioned earlier, already, firstly, you should follow honest, truthful, compassionate, and non-violence. Then determined, no matter how difficult it is. I usually, describing power of gun and the power of truth. For short term, power of gun is much stronger. Long term, power of truth is much, much stronger. So with this belief, our problem, our struggle keep alive. So right from the beginning, we strictly follow non-violent way and spirit of reconciliation. So I want to share, firstly, you should carry your work non-violent way, and all your activities should be transparent, truthful, honest, then take continuously. Should not sort of expect within a few weeks, within a few months, some big change can take place. You should not expect that. Just something truthful, no matter how long it will take, determined, and carry continuously. I think that's the way.
We should also be true to ourselves to the extent that whatever we have been told to do by our Creator, that also we should keep in mind. Like Moses, when he went to the mountain to talk to God, God said to him, "La takhaf, do not be afraid, and be afraid only of me." So as of today, most of us are afraid of everybody else except God. So we should reverse it. Yeah, actually, that's where the solution lies. That's where the solution lies. That we should fear only God and nobody else. Once we start doing that, and I have practiced that for several years, that I go and speak in front of anybody else, irrespective of thinking that who he is, etc. So far as God is on your side, be afraid only of God. If we start doing that, things may start changing. And I have seen it changing.
Thank you.
With respect, who knows God is your side?
No. See, I'll tell you. Oh. I know. No? So what if God says, speak the truth, and if I'm speaking the truth, then I'm not doubtful whether God likes truth or not. I don't doubt that. So I don't doubt that God is right in thinking that truth is fine. So if I'm on the side of truth, I'm on the side of God.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes. That's true. So, that's right.
Okay.
But here, I think here this group, I think I'm the only person, no other, because a Jain practitioner, I think no Jain practitioner. So, in India, over 3,000 years, one very, very ancient sort of spiritual or philosophical sort of tradition, that is Sangha philosophy. See, one part of Sangha philosophy, no concept of creator. Then Jainism also, no concept of creator. Then Buddhists also, no concept of creator. or rather self-creation. Everything depends on your own action and motivation. There is no such sort of central sort of authority or something. So in any way, as I mentioned earlier, in philosophical views, you see big differences. Within Buddhist tradition, the Sanskrit tradition, Pali tradition, and mainly within the Sanskrit tradition, there are four major different school of thought. See, there are sort of different philosophical views. All these taught by Buddha, same teacher. But then, sometimes I sort of telling, half joke, you see, Buddha, same teacher, the one occasion, you see, taught one philosophical views. In another occasion, another group of people, different philosophical views. This does not mean Buddha's own mind not very clear or confused. No. Nor he deliberately tried to tell these sort of different sort of philosophical views in order to create more confusion among his followers. No. Then answer is, the very purpose of teaching these different philosophical views to help different people who have different mental disposition. So we need different philosophical views. So today, around 7 billion human beings. To some people, the concept of God, Creator, is very, very powerful. To such people, you see, that concept, that religion, based on concept of Creator, is very, very wonderful, very powerful. Then those people, you see, whose mental thinking, including many scientists, you see, they don't care whether there's Creator or not. They also, you see, take care about our inner peace. So like these people, you see, Jainism, but Buddhist sort of way of the thinking, you are your own master. There's no Creator. So that's more suitable. So therefore, and in Burmese case, the majority of the people are Buddhist, mainly follower of Pali tradition, Four Noble Truths, and 16 Khasachudi.
16 different attributes of Four Noble Truths.
And basically, the Buddhist philosophical views is interdependency, interconnectedness, pratyekasamuppada. So this is many scientists, you see, they accepted or very fond, you see, this concept. There is no absolute, no independent. Everything is interconnectedness, interrelated. So in any way, you see, there are sort of different philosophical views.
Yeah, that's very true. But then for 300 years, the then scientists were very sure that the sun revolves around the earth. For 300 years, and they were also scientists. So not that whatever scientist thinks is final, because science keeps on changing, it is dynamic. It's understanding of the nature. Nature has revealed only a small portion of itself, what we've known as science today. A lot is yet to be revealed.
Right. And then I think Buddha's statement. You see, he told among his followers, you see, monks, scholars, should not accept his teaching out of faith, out of devotion, but rather thorough investigation.
Correct.
And experiment.
Correct. Very true.
So that part of his teaching shows he also scientific thinking. Investigation is the final decision maker, not faith.
Very true. One should try to understand, can be convinced.
I also took liberty to reject some Buddhist text mentioned flat world.
Very true.
In the center, Mount Meru had the sun and moon go like that, I reject it publicly. Still, I consider I am Buddhist.
True.
I am a follower of Buddha.
Very
but
true.
I publicly reject some of these old concepts, not realistic. So I have more belief the scientific findings. But then the Buddhist tradition, the concept of anatma. Now many brain specialists, scientists, and also quantum physicists, very similar, the Buddhist sort of way of thinking, Buddhist philosophical views, and the scientific finding, very similar. So in any way, that is individual business.
See, one,
so
during,
religion is concerned.
Your Holiness, during lunch, this gentle boy, he was talking to me and he was saying, okay, whether do you think that Shariat needs to undergo changes? I said, yes, 100%, because that's what Shariat itself says. Not it cannot. It is a dynamic thing.
That's right.
It has to keep on changing.
That's right.
According to the times.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Religion should be realistic. And frankly speaking, including Buddhism, 2,000 years ago, you see, taught. So at that time, this sort of society, the cultural heritage, something different. I think this morning also I mentioned it, you see, particularly the Tibetan Buddhist tradition. In the past, you see, the number of Western because of authors, they describe Tibetan Buddhism as Lamaism, not genuine Buddhism. Now I think change that. So I publicly, you see, criticize, you see, that kind of sort of habit or tradition. Tibetan, public, you see, lack of knowledge. You see, too much belief. You see, some individual, lamas. That's a mistake. One Tibetan, I think, 10th century, the one great teacher, practitioner, you see, end of his life, some of his follower asked him, now till you are here, we can ask you, seek advice. Now you know more, and to whom we seek sort of advice. Then he told,
Scriptures
is your teacher. You should rely on scripture, not person. That's, I think, very wise sort of advice. So I think you or someone, I think, mentioned, I think you should rely, as a Muslim, should rely on Quran, not some individual mullah or something.
Very true, very true. One must.
Like that.
Yeah. Your Holiness, if we could take the two final voices.
Okay.
Start here.
I'm just
and
turning
there.
It away.
Yeah.
We still have time.
We do? No. Okay. Okay.
No more. I mean, more than two, three, four, five.
Oh. Okay, then we've already got a third. Yeah, please.
Good evening, Your Holiness. I'm Isa from Iraq.
Iraq, not yet.
I want to share a little story of why I started working in peace building and nonviolent conflict mediation. 2 years ago, there was a police checkpoint by the end of my street. During a period of 2 months, there was 3 car explosions in the same spot. So during the second explosion, I'm a journalist, so during the second explosion, I went there to check what happened. And it was chaotic, as you would expect from a car explosion. So I was looking at the people, asking about the casualties, when did the car came, what was the kind of the car. And then I noticed across the street from the explosion, there was a kid a small child, carrying, selling air balloons.
What?
Air balloons.
Balloons.
So I looked at his face, and what I expect from a face of a child or even an adult in a car explosion, at least some fear or something, his face was indifferent. There was no emotions on his face. Seeing that scene scared me until today, because I put myself in his position. If I was his age and that happened in front of me, as if you remember Hestiara's story, he was shocked. That kid had nothing in his face. It scared me because I'm living in this country and I have a kid brother, not as young as this kid, but he's a teenager, and I want to stay in my country and have children. And if the children will live in a world where explosion is a normal thing, that you can actually have no emotion about it, it really scared me. So I started to do it on person-to-person individual conversation. During the conversation, I tried to instill ideas of critical thinking and pacifist thinking. I started with the teenagers and children, my cousins, my neighbors. I just have normal one-to-one conversation with them. And if they understand what I'm talking about, if they liked what I'm talking about, I only ask them to go and just tell it to other people. And I'm thankful to one man. His name is Oliver Keels. He is my trainer in conflict mediation. That man gave me so much techniques that I used with these children later. So I only wanted to thank him, even though he's not here. But without him, I wouldn't have known what to do when I saw that scene with the kid. Thank you very much.
Ninja, wonderful. Sometimes you see my friend, you see, I think some scholars, you see, I think children's mind, something very pure, very pure, very clean. So, example, peace, I think we should learn from children. Elder people, too much sophisticated mind, sometimes you see, I think less honest. Children, very honest, very pure. You see, they really love
innocent
peace and compassion, isn't it? So is there someone, is he told me, like me, older people, is he should learn from children's sort of thinking. I think that's very possible, I think, in any way.
That's why they say child is the father of man.
Hmm?
The famous saying is the child is the father of man in such circumstances.
Right.
Right. Thank you, Asa.
My name is Nuria. I'm from Afghanistan. At first, I thank you for your useful speech. That it was really useful up to now. Thanks a lot. I want to ask a question. In my country, Afghanistan, and also in some other countries, we have lots of tourist groups. There is lots of reasons, lots of news that they are supporting by maybe some countries, maybe some special peoples around the world. So I want to ask, what do you think about these tourist groups? According to your view, the main source or the main supporter of these tourist groups are who are? The countries or the maybe some peoples around the world? This one question, and what do you think, how we can rebuild their skills with positive points, and they should come with the peace builders together and to make a peaceful society? What do you think, is it possible now times, or we should wait, we should try just with
Tourist.
Like Al Qaeda, like Taliban, like ISIS, like others.
That's now is a common experience in these many countries. That's really a serious matter. I think in principle, non-violent way, reach out, talk, make kind of friendship and a closer understanding. That's the only way. Only way. I think the Tunisia Chilamas educated, many educated.
Yes.
Many educated. You see, become terrorists.
She said,
we moved. They moved.
Like that.
Tunisia.
So these things, I think we have to think worldwide more sort of, or say, a systematic sort of effort or method, and long run through education. Short term, I think various government leaders, you see, trying. You see, to solve now this, I think for the moment, I think Syria ceasefire, particularly American, the Secretary of State, he really committed.
He's trying
to bring ceasefire. First the ceasefire, then talk. Bombing, killing continuously, talk difficult. So. I think some of these people, I think, really wonderful. They really tirelessly making effort. So I think world, there are many bad people, but also, you see, there are many good people. So I think, as I mentioned this morning, basically, human nature is more compassionate. Even these sort of the killers, as an individual, I think they also want peace. When their emotion become out of control, then these people become mad. In normal level, these people also want peace. So, I think ceasefire, for the time being, some sort of as they cool down destructive emotion. Then start talk and reach out. But I don't know. I don't know. Really difficult. Really difficult. So that's why I really impressed now these young people now really. You see, making effort. No matter how sort of small at the beginning. But these are signs of you fed up presence of existence. So trying to make sort of change. I think all these from Arsadeh, I think certain. I'm Buddhist from our spiritual sort of believer sort of viewpoint. When Muhammad start Islam, I think very few people.
Yes, yes.
Now billion.
1.6 billion.
Buddha also when he first Dharma teaching start, I think 5 or 6 sort of people like that. So these work. You see, at the beginning, very few. But since we have truth, we have very sincere, compassionate motivation. So more and more people will join. Will join our effort. So really wonderful. Really wonderful. Next.
Okay. Yeah, over here.
I'm Denza from Burma.
Burma.
First of all, I really would like to thank you and Your Holiness because you give us a lot of time and give the suggestion. And I'm a little bit worried also. You might be very tired the whole day for answering our question. But so I will ask one very short question from Burma. Mm-hmm. And we are also facing conflicts in our country. But now I'm also one of the activists for the Interfaith Peace Building. I felt like that now after experiencing many conflicts, people from the different religions, youth from the different backgrounds are more organized. They become more united because they don't want to happen these kinds of conflicts again and again.
Yes.
They don't want. They want to be. They want for their the developments of their country, and they want to prevent all these things. So a lot of young people are based on the conflicts. We it is a positive points from their negative things and this. So to do more peace building things, but we need a lot of things to do. So to do more peace building things, what kinds of the attitudes and what kinds of the spiritual development you would like to suggest for the youth who are doing all these interfaith peace building and peace building walks?
I think this morning I already sort of mentioned these basically, we humanity face these problems. And 7 billion human beings, you see, the way of thinking, some change. Then these different countries' problem will change. So since, you see, this is something part of the problem of humanity. So, see, Kasoda, cooperation, where? Cooperation, coordination, where?
Collaboration, coordination.
Oh, coordination is very essential. I think, I think when you come here in your own country, you are doing some wonderful work, but seems something lonely. After I come here, meet, see, people from a number of different countries, same spirit, you see, same effort. So I think when you return, you have more confidence, isn't it? More courage, more enthusiasm. So I think from time to time, you see, as I this morning I mentioned, you see, you should organize, or some other sort of organization. I think your organization also, I think, worthwhile, you see, to organize some different countries. So this kind of meeting regularly, and then give them more encouragement, and they should not feel lonely. Should get some kind of feeling, oh, worldwide sort of people, many honest sort of, how to say, sensible people helping us. So that's one thing I feel. So, you see, these are problems of the humanity. So, every human being have the responsibility. So you see, some kind of worldwide sort of effort. Worldwide does not mean some kind of United Nations, each country, United Nations, no. So individual sort of organizations from time to time come together and exchange different experiences. Then you see new ideas as they come. And then, I think, more publication. If possible, you see, after this kind of sort of meeting in different place, some publication, and make known worldwide. So that's, yes. So that's the way, tirelessly, small seed gradually can grow like that. So only one word, you should give self-confidence and enthusiasm. That's important. I think this person, old person, now nearly 57 years remain as a refugee. And inside country, a lot of problems, a lot of suppression. Of course, outside, sort of constructions, sort of a lot of constructions. But in reality, a lot of fear. Recently, I met some very, very ordinary Chinese. Of course, I met a number of Chinese from time to time. I think every day, every week, 10, 15 Chinese from mainland China to come here seeing me. So one occasion, I think a few Chinese who carry sort of also the chungshung ya ji zhala zong em de.
Ha. Small stuff that they sell on the street.
On the street. So they told me, you see, they are the way to earning in Peking, some small things to see selling in the street. Then I told, yes, in Dharamsala, also, you see, we Tibetan also, you see, have that kind of city beside the road, you see, selling some small things.
Roadside kiosk.
Oh.
It's not K-I-O-S-K, roadside kiosks.
So then, they told me, yes, okay. They told me, you see, here, these people, let's say they're selling some small things, and quite poor, you see, but no fear. In his own country, in Peking, doing some small business, but a lot of fear.
Okay.
So, you see, now over, I think, almost 60 years, you see, that kind of sort of experience. But, you see, we believe truth. You see, non-violent principle, we follow non-violent principle. As a result, more and more Chinese now supporting us at public level. Many intellectuals. Now China, Buddhist population, over 400 million. Now China, communist country, I think biggest Buddhist populated country. I think Burma, yeah. Thailand, Sri Lanka, Cambodia, Laos, I think altogether, I think may not be over 400 million. So, like that. So you see, these people really supporting us. Result, right from the beginning, we never sort of keep anger or hatred towards Chinese brothers, sisters. Sometimes we criticize their action, but not sort of against the people. People is the people. Human being, human being. Human beings, mistake, action, sometimes mistake. That we have to sort of criticize. We have to oppose. But that does not mean we are criticizing the people or opposing the people. So here, you see, it is very important to make distinction. Action and actor. As far as action is concerned, we need criticize opposition. But actor is concerned, still a human being, still a human brother, sisters. Today, that person, you see, acting that out of emotion, out of ignorance. But after some time, they may change. So we should not oppose or criticize the person, actor, but criticize action. Make distinction. When we, you sort of practice confession. Confession. We make distinction. I done something wrong. You yourself as an actor, that wrong action. Now actor, as an actor, realize that action is wrong. So I confessing. So at that time, you make distinction, your wrong action and yourself. So similarly, other people, also we can easily, you see, make distinction, actor and action.
Mahatma Gandhi also had said that, hate the sin, not the sinner.
Mm-hmm. Mahatma Gandhi. Right.
Hate the sin, not the sinner.
That's right. Same.
Yeah.
Very good.
So we have yet another voice from Burma.
Yes. I'm Harry Mulin from Burma. I have very personal question. So as we come through a very long military dictatorship and facing through a lot of civil wars and a lot of human rights violation, and in the transition time, what our leader Aung San Suu Kyi is calling for is to forgive and forget and start from a new beginning. And as an activist, for me, in my personal mind, it is very challenging for me to think about forgiveness. Of course, I agree that we should forgive, but in my mind, I still have a lot of challenges. So it will be very helpful for us to learn about how you become a 24-year-old young man living from your own country and become the world's most compassionate leaders. What kind of spiritual journeys you take, how you challenge in your mind about this, the life mass, how you forgive people.
I think that's my secret. I think yes, as the human being, I use maximum way common sense. What is useful? Usefulness. Keep anger. No help to solve our problem. It only destroy my peace of mind. So criticism or opposition, action out of compassion we can do. Out of compassion, some criticism will be more realistic, more reasonable. Criticism out of anger, sometimes, you see, too much exaggerated sort of criticism. So therefore, you see, thinking in this line, then as a Buddhist monk, particularly I'm student of Nalanda masters. The Nalanda masters, you see, their way of approach is utilize logic. That means utilize human intelligence. So I'm, as a student of these master, because a student of these master, so I often, you see, use intelligence. Analyze. Some good things happen. Analyze how and why. The negative things happen. Again, why, how. What is the immediate cause? Long-term cause? Wide side effect? Always thinking. Yeah. So the analytic, we call analytical meditation. Not single-pointed meditation. In the West, you see, now there is some kind of fashion or use the word for meditation. Mm-hmm. But that is just simple, you see, a single-pointed meditation. That's like tranquilizer. Your mind, little disturbance, anything like that. some kind of peace. Not much effective.
Yeah.
So analytical meditation, analyze. That really affect our emotion. So, and that for my case, as a student of Nalanda masters, particularly Madhyamika philosophy, so analyze what is self. When anger or frustration happen, whose frustration, whose anger? Which is the person? Self. Nothing. Zero. Even if my sort of friend, one scientist, one American, his name kasa?
Paul Ekman. Paul Ekman.
What much good?
Aaron Beck.
Aaron Beck. One scientist. He, I think, experienced, I think, at least, I think, a few decades treating people who a little bit sort of, too much disturbed by anger. So he told me, we human being is something like prison of anger. Then he told me, when we develop anger, so the object which we feel angry, that appears very negative. But the reality, 90% of that negativeness is mental projection. So these, you see, that mental projection, you see, happen because of ignorance. Ignorance, which sort of grasping appearances. So there is always a big gap, appearances and reality. So all the ignorance and sort of kasota, the distorted kasota,
distorted
views, you see, the in reality, not that. So therefore, once we thinking, analyze on deeper level, reality, then the strength or intensity of this negative emotion automatically reduce. So this is my secret.
This was your secret.
Oh.
This was. This.
David.
Oh. But secret in the sense my own practice. So secret.
Your Holiness, you've been unbelievably generous to give us so much time.
This is our duty as a human being, as a human brother. And perhaps, I think, maybe do kasa. Ambition, sorry.
Too presumptuous.
Too presumptuous.
Presumptuous. Ambitious.
Like you, criticize elder generation. So I have to show patience of elder people.
Endurance of elder people. Thank you. Thank you. This
See you again.
A remarkable
tomorrow.
Day.
Thank you. I really got a lot of sort of a source of, what's it, encouragement. Oh. Different part of country, different part of the world, particularly troubled area, among younger generation who really thinking, not only thinking, committed. So very, very encouraging. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you again tomorrow. Thank you.